Davenport, Florida, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the Jersey Boy Sports Talk, hosted by Byron Jones and Victor Orocho. Today is July 6th, correct? Yeah, July 6th, 2023, the day after our co-host's birthday, Mr. Byron Jones. Happy birthday, Byron. God bless you. May you have many, many, many more years with us. Happy birthday. Now, remember to subscribe to Sportscast, as you see it here on all your networks, on YouTube, Twitter, Spotify, Stitcher. You could also listen to the Jersey Boy Sports Talk on your smart speaker. All you got to say is play Jersey Boy Sports Talk and boom, it'll go. Also, please, if you have Apple, you can go to the podcast. You can put the Jersey Boy Sports Talk. Please subscribe, leave us a review. It'll help us tremendously as we continue to grow our subscribers. We also have our regular co-host, Mr. John Ronenberg, my dear fraternity brother, Colorado man, and
apple juice drinker.
And our apple juice drinker, no man stinker, lost weight, looks good. And I want to be quick shout out to Uncle Eric. You know, I want to always say hi to Uncle Eric. God bless you. And thank you for being a devoted fan, whether John's on or not. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. So today is, July 6th. Happy birthday, Byron. I am wearing an honor. Today's show is dedicated to my dad, Nirmo, Anthony, Tony. He goes by Tony Orocho. Family goes by Pop. A lot of my boys call him Pop. So today's dedicated to my dad. My dad passed away a couple weeks ago. I'm up here in Davenport for the service on Saturday. And I'm here with my stepmom, who's chilling next to me. She's watching. Hey, you sure didn't start yet? You sure didn't start yet? You know, just
I gotta text Uncle Eric real quick. Hold on.
Giving me crap, like Byron's giving me crap. So I was trying to get it from the car. She actually was nice enough to get me this hat because I had the hat that I wanted in the car. But my dad has a whole row of hats with military Byron, like lots of them. And then he's got a few Mets spread out in between. I don't touch the Mets hat.
Eddie Giants hat?
No, he wasn't. He's a big baseball guy. He likes the Giants. Likes fun, the Giants though, but he didn't have a Giants hat. He
was Well, you played though?
Upsell, yeah, he had Upsell stuff.
Did he come watch?
He was there every game. Every home game.
That's all.
So was my stepma.
There you go.
Hold on, Nuna. Mary,
yeah.
Did you go to? Can you hear her?
Yeah.
Did you go to every Upsala football game that was home?
Yes.
Told you. Every game.
Love her.
My dad. We used to yell out, "That's my boy!" And you know, back in the day, me and George Grooms. Shout out to my brother Saad, George, Tyrone Grooms, lovely family too. You know, I had a black hat with a little Playboy on it saying Vic. And my dad would wear that hat to the game. He was pretty proud. So, and then we would always go out to dinner after the game. So it's a little bit reminiscent about my dad. Every time my dad, from my sophomore year on, my dad and my stepmom came to every single home game.
Wow.
For 3 years, every single home game, they were there. Rain or shine, they saw me break the record returning punts. They saw me, my interceptions. And then it was fun. We would always go out to eat, you know, in Bloomfield Avenue. My dad would take me and whoever else was with us and friends. It was always a nice event afterwards. And then we'd come back and party at the fraternity house after they left. But outside of that,
that never happened.
We had a good time. And then Benny, my brother Benny, he left school. That brother was with me 4 years of college. And he only went two.
You had to go somewhere.
He was there. He was there from Thursday through the weekend, every weekend, every week. So it was pretty awesome, you know, enjoying college with Benny. I got my glasses on because, again, my eye, you know, leaving those contacts in too long, my eye's getting red. And I want to have it too red. So I have reading glasses on.
My contacts are in and I have reading glasses. So I'm with you.
I have reading glasses on and one contact because his eye's all red.
And you were driving like that. Nice.
No, I took the contact off when I got here because I didn't want to drive one car. It was pouring. You know how the Florida rain is. It's like you can't see. You know what happened to? I thought I hit a button by accident on my car, And, you know, I have the sensors that if you crash alert or if you get too close to a car, it's shut off. The rain must have been so powerful that it did. I'm like, okay, what's wrong with the car? I'm trying to hit buttons, think I hit something. And then as it stopped raining, it like came back on. You would think it would be more censored while it's raining. And hey, Byron, let me ask you a question. I don't know if during your time as a sheriff, they changed the law now. You know, when you rain, they used to teach you to put your hazards on. They say now, they blink now, do not put hazards on.
Yeah.
Put your lights on, but lights do not on. Turn your hazards. Why is that?
Because people get all confused, you know, as they're driving, you know, down the road and they see the lights flash. So you don't know if this person is going to stop or keep going or whatever. And it just jacks up people all kind of ways.
But that makes sense because normally that's what I would do. I would put the hazards on too, but then now I just put the lights because I had seen that somewhere. But I noticed today that sometimes, you know, it's raining so hard and the car so far, when they have the hazards on, they're going so slow, I can't tell if they're actually stopped. Right, or there's driving.
So yeah, but you go.
It makes more sense because if I think they're stopped, I'm stopping, which is going to stop everybody behind me.
Yeah, but then you also get the people that put the hazard lights on and then pull to the shoulder of the road, but just keep going on the shoulder of the road. So I guess they figure that's okay too, but it's not.
No. Now, when I was in those storms in Florida, I would, if there was a shoulder, I'm pulling off and I'm waiting 10 minutes for it to stop. So,
I drove through it. And I'm still late. But anyways, all right, let's keep going. We got a show again. Shout out to my pops. It's going to be a rough day. These next couple of days been a little bit challenging. My dad was a big, he was a welterweight. Just a little bit of sports history of my dad. He was a welterweight champ in the Army. And he got, his manager was Frank Torrey, Joe Torrey's brother.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
And my dad was like 5'8". You think about a welterweight guy. How much is a welterweight guy? 137, 147, somewhere around there. Right.
Those are guys you don't want to fight.
Yeah,
you don't want to fight them.
So Frank Torrey, my dad would tell me a story. Frank Torrey was like 6'5". I mean, the Torreys are big guys, right? Joe Torrey's a tall guy. And I don't want to get too much into it, sidetrack, but I remember what my dad was telling one time, one guy was like giving Frank Torrey lip. He goes, "Man, you better be quiet before I sick Tony on you." Meanwhile, he's 6'5". And the guy looks at my dad. He goes, "That guy?" He goes, "Try me." Okay. And when you're a boxer at welterweight at that size, you're pretty, you know, you're pretty tough. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, just a boxer by nature, right? They're professionally, their hands are considered legal weapons on my understanding, right? Now he was a professional, he was in the Army, but still, but it was a pretty fun story that Frank Torrey is telling the bigger guy. He's telling, "Don't mess with me because I'll sick this guy on you," who was 5'8" and versus being 6'5". Right? It's like you telling someone, "I'll sick Victor on you," and you're 6'6", and it's a giant that you are. All right. So we got a few things Brian and I prepared, and I apologize, you know, with things going on, preparing as we're coming up. So we wanted to talk about Saquon. Hasn't signed yet, right? And people put some crazy stuff on Twitter. They were like saying hi to Saquon. Hi what? I thought it was hi he signed. So apparently he hasn't signed. And he's got three options. So Byron, let's give the three options that Saquon has.
Sign, don't sign, sit out.
Okay, so sit out. Let me ask John this question. If he sits out, what do you think happens to his career?
Same thing that happens to every other running back that sits out. Le'Veon Bell comes to mind. Okay.
For our listeners, don't give the riddle. What happens? Okay.
Le'Veon Bell left Pittsburgh. He sat out. He didn't want to sign. Then he signed with the Jets a year later, and he was not the same dude. Le'Veon Bell was a beast with the Steelers.
I liked him.
I did too. And I hate the Steelers, but I liked him.
Okay. He was somewhat productive with Kansas City.
A little bit, but even then, I mean, he was.
But he wasn't the same.
He was RB3.
But he was better than he was with the Jets.
See, but he was RB3 then, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was when he got the Chiefs. But the crazy thing with him is that they franchise tagged him twice, the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
And technically, when you look at it, when I was looking at it today, he lost because, you know, the time he sat out, it was almost $15 million in 2 years. because you know the franchise tag, you know, was a little lower, you know, back was 08 or whatever it was.
Still $15 million.
Yeah, he lost $15 million sitting out the way he did. You know, he ended up getting $29 million guaranteed with the Jets, but he still lost $15 million.
I don't even think it was 08, but I think it was a lot. I think it's like, all right, but I want to say 12. Focused.
Bottom line, is, all right, forget about Le'Veon Bell. Right. Saquon Barkley, I agree that if he sits out, his career's done, and he'll get $3 million the next time he signs, right? Yep. Number one. Number two, so that's number one. He just sits out. Number two, he signs and he gets franchise tag, which means what, Byron?
Well, he's already franchise tag now, but he has until July 15th to sign it. If he doesn't sign it, it automatically kicks in. That 10, I think it's like almost like $11 million total.
Of one year.
One year it kicks in, and then if he decides to sit out, then you know he's not getting no money, but he has all the way until the 10th game, but the 10th week to sign. If he doesn't sign,
if he signs, does he get the full 11 million or he gets whatever
he started?
Yeah,
okay. So then the third option is he signs with an extension,
which is there's still that. Supposedly they're working on that now. You know, he turned, you know, allegedly turned down $14 million a year. I think he wants, me personally, I think he wants more upfront money.
Yeah,
you said he turned down 14,
like 14, you know, 14 per year, you know, 50 million, 28 million guaranteed, or whatever it was
recently.
Not this was during the season, okay, during the season, this happened, but you know, being a runner, you want to get as much money up front as you can. You know, I don't blame the guy, but. You know, me personally, I would blame his agents, you know, for, again, for not
signing really mid-season. Checking the, cause the mid-season was at 14, no?
Right.
No. Whatever their bye week was, that's when he got that offer.
But it was like, a lot higher than their
offer. A lot earlier, yeah. But the crazy thing is that his agents misjudged the running back market. Because look at all these guys sitting around still. The guy from Minnesota. Elliott, there's a bunch of them that are sitting around still because there's no market for the running back.
And the biggest surprise to me was we talked about this. Delvin Cook was a massive surprise to me, right? That he got cut like that. I mean, we've been talking about they should have seen the writing. You know, we're not getting paid millions of dollars for Jersey Boys Sports Talk, and we've been talking since we started the show. Three, almost going on 4 years, that it's a quarterback league, right? And it's not it becomes a quarterback league. What does that mean? That means they're pretty much passing most of the time. Even run plays are turning into pass run plays. Is that a fair statement? It's all West Coast offense the entire
league. But what they're doing is they're doing running back by committee, like the Eagles. The Eagles have, you know, they went and got three running backs that they could have paid. Like they had Miles Sanders, the one guy, whatever, 10 million or whatever. So they have three of them. So you got the first down guy, the second down guy, the coming out the backfield guy. And it was just a mixed match with all these different running backs. That's what everybody's doing. You don't need.
And you can't pay them all $16 million.
Right.
You can't.
Right. And the other thing, too, is that the league is going for younger running backs. You know, they know that the lifespan of a running back is 3 to 5 years tops. Some guys go over that. You know, Walter Payton, you know, is an example. Barry Sanders could have played more. But in today's NFL, we're looking at 3 to 5 years. And with that, you know, okay, you don't want to sign. I'm going to go for the young guy that's coming up. So Saquon basically, excuse my language, you know, PG show, but screwed himself.
Yeah. Well, his agent.
Well, whoever's advising him, yeah.
His agent, you know. But to give the agent credit, Saquon's got to make the decision too, right? Saquon's got to agree or disagree. Somewhere he's got to be in the mix. That's not the other thing. The other thing that I'm seeing is that why do you think they're running back by committee, Byron?
Because it's cheaper. You know, because you're investing all the money in what
it's not really the money cheaper because you're paying three guys.
Yeah, but it's a lot cheaper to pay three of them
than one.
Oh, yeah. In other words, you're spending the same amount of money, but you're getting three times. You get three athletes for it.
Right. The Eagles end up playing less because I think it was like what Miles said, like 10 or 11, and they got these three guys. They're like $6 or $7 million for three running backs because you're investing all the money in the quarterback, wide receiver, left lineman, tackle, and edge rushers and corner, yep. Some corners. That's where the money's going.
So why do you think it's running back by committee, John?
The reason why it's running back by committee right now is simply, and you know, I hate talking good about Philly, but I will. It works. Plus, you know, Byron is saying, sure, you got the one guy who's your primary back. You pay him the most up front. But if you have two role players behind him that can do the job for those specific situations, second down, and you have the big guy for third and ones, I'd run a team like that. I'd keep my main guy, first down guy. He can like you said, where it's a passing league now, he can catch passes out of the backfield, right? Or he can break off a 20-yard run. All right. But when you get into the dirty situation, second and six, third and two, you don't want your number one guy in there. You're going to want the other guy in there, unless your number one guy is a guy that can make those plays. But are you willing to risk that player getting hurt on one of those plays instead of let number two go and hit it?
Yeah. Cause Saquon is a three down back.
Yeah.
He's absolutely in there all the time.
Yeah.
But you saw what happened to him the second half of the season. You know, he was spectacular the first half of the season. When he got, you know, the dog days of the season, his average dropped big time. If you look it up, it was a lot less, you know, a lot less carries, a lot less yards, you know, the second half of the season. I think the Giants went 2-5-1, you know, because everybody focused on him to stop him. And, you know, it probably would have helped that, you know, if Matt Breida, you know, carry the ball a little bit more, or the other guy that they have carried the ball more, but they're just not built like that.
You know, well, the other thing, Byron, is I know you guys are high on Danny Dimes. I get it. Okay. I'm still not sold. I'm telling you, right? You guys have heard me say this for the last 3 years. I'm still not sold. Simply because also it's the offensive coordinator, okay, designing plays that are going to we talk about the West Coast offense, okay? You have to have a quarterback that can counteract what your running back is doing. And that goes back to the days of Joe Montana and Roger Craig, okay? Now, if Saquon could do that, the problem is that they're not targeting Dimes because he's okay, but he's no Joe Montana. He's no John Elway or any of those quarterbacks that mastered that system, right? So, therefore, Saquon is getting targeted.
Giants don't run that type of offense.
But I'm using your example, though, as what it is. Okay. Right. You have to have a complimentary quarterback to help out, or a complimentary play caller. I'm not saying Dable's, you know, coaching staff is bad, but weren't we talking about this time? Well, no, I'd say 13 months ago, or not even 13, like 8 months ago, we were talking about how many injuries were going on with the Giants in training camp. Right. Mm-hmm. And this stems from
the Jets are now complaining about the facilities. They're saying, you know, we're just saying, how do we get in so many injuries compared to just everybody else?
Exactly. Exactly.
But but let me throw a little loop into the running back by committee, and then I'm going to address your Danny Dimes piece. And Byron will like this because I'm going to address it because I'm actually going to defend them. I think the running back, everything that you guys said, I agree with. I'm going to add one more piece. I think the reason why they need running back by committees, the linemen and the edge rushers are just coming out. They're better. You know what I mean? And so you need, it's like, you know how you're rotating your line and you're getting your reps and stuff. You need multiple backs to stop those guys.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, someone's got to be hitting them and pounding them, because if not, you know, you can't run if you're only just pounding them, right? You got to hit the Bosa. So you got to hit the Micah Parsons. You got to hit Miller. You got to hit Darnold. You got to get, and you can't do that with one back is my belief, right? That's part of it. And then the other part is that you want that freshness in, because now you could change whether you want to roll out and throw them, you know, to you know, pass to them and so forth. So that my just thinking that the edge rusher, the linemen that are coming out are just so much better that you need that extra body to hit the block, right? And you and or to hit or to chip them to do something. That's my
and no one plays fullback anymore.
What's up? Oh, yeah, it's only a couple. I like that, and I missed.
But fullback. you can't chip the edge rushers the way they used to do back in the in the day. Because if once you're engaged with them, you can't run up there and do what they used to do back in the day. Because when I was down at James Madison University, where name? Haley, Charles Haley played down there, and he was talking about that's how he hurt his back. That, you know, back in the day, you know, he was engaged with the tackle, and the back, boop, it came and hit him in the hip, and he could feel a pop in his back. Mm-hmm. That's how his back got all jacked up. You could do that back then. You can't
back
do that
in the
now.
Day. You were allowed to hit anybody that crossed your face. We were taught if someone's crossing your face,
blow him up.
Do not let him get, but hit him. You can't touch a guy.
Can't do it.
You're making me miss you about Vinny Caprera right now.
Hey, cross your face, you hit him.
You hit him,
right? And if you have a chance to hit, you know, anyone that's not the receiver, obviously a receiver crossing, you can't hit him. He's in a pass.
You know who on our team after you were gone was the best to start and crap like that? Jerry Krivda. Remember Kriv?
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone would come across his face, even in practice, he'd start a fight.
You practice like you play.
Yeah.
You can't, we didn't, that's why they kept the offense and defense in separate locker rooms, right? They didn't, they didn't want us to like each other until game time. But so anyhow, that's my feeling on the running backs. And then Byron, you were saying that he wanted, every football player wants their money up front because of the way they're taxed. For our listeners, explain how an NFL a professional is taxed. Based on how he gets paid. So he gets taxed. So let's just make it simple, right? There's 17 games. Let's say he gets $17 million just for ease numbers, right? He's going to get paid $17 million for the year. So he either gets paid $1 million a game, or he gets paid, just to make it for simple numbers, right? He gets, $10 million up front and $7 million for the remainder. That way we could have the math. It just makes sense.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it like real quick. You have, it's an 18-week season, right? Okay, with the bye week and everything. So it's 18 weeks.
You get paid also for the bye week?
Yes. So you get game checks. Every week you get a game check. That's where you get paid.
So let's say it's an $18 million contract.
So, yeah. So what it is that every team, like you have 8 or 9, whatever home game, it's called a jock tax. You have to pay taxes. You know, if you're playing there in that city, you're paying taxes in that city. Each city that you play the away game, you're paying taxes all over the state tax, except for Florida. That's why everybody wants to run to Florida. But every place, all the country, yes, that's what it is. It's called a jock tax.
So the AFC East, right?
Oh, man.
Half of their games, they love playing in Florida.
I would love playing in Florida.
Right, because they're not getting hit with the state tax.
Right.
If you are in Texas, you don't get hit.
I think
with state tax.
Nevada, right, John? I think Nevada too.
Texas, for sure. California is expensive.
I would not play in the NFC or the AFC West. No. Yeah, even though I'm an AFC West guy.
So let's say it's 18. I got 18 million. Every week I get paid $1 million. Every away game I'm gonna get taxed based on the city that I'm the state that I'm playing.
Yes.
Okay. Now, so the reason why it's 18 million. So the reason, let's say you're going to get 10 million up front. So you get 8 million over 18 games. You get that 10 million because you're getting that 10 million. You're only paying the taxes for the state that your team
is. Yes. So that's why those guys want all that upfront money. So they don't get taxed like crazy. So if they're New York, they're just going to pay New York taxes. They don't have to worry about.
Wait a second. Does New York pay? Do the Giants pay New York taxes? Or Jersey?
Got to be Jersey.
Yeah, Jersey taxes.
Yeah, because I think the complex is it's in Jersey.
But if the corporation is legally in New York, they're working for a New York company.
That's a gray area.
I'm just asking.
Yeah,
I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. I'm just saying normally. You're working for XYZ Corporation. They're paying you. Well, that's not true because I work for XYZ Corporation. I live in Florida. They got to pay me my taxes based on where I live. So the players are better off living in New Jersey than they are.
New Jersey's taxes got high too, man.
Yeah.
But not compared to New York.
Yeah. Move to Delaware. Yeah. Have all the teams move to Delaware.
Yeah, you got Florida. Delaware.
Florida. They got money making on them. Okay, so that's a good one. I wanted our fans to hear how they're taxed in the state. So we got Saquon, and so you think they're working out the deal with for the extension?
Yeah.
I'll go yeah. I'll go yeah for now.
And bottom line, it what's the pros and cons for the Giants not to do?
Let's see.
To do it
without. Say, I'm gonna go without first. Without him.
No, not without him. What? Just saying, what's the pros and cons? Without him, forget about that. What I want to know is, what's the pros and cons for the Giants to give him the franchise tag, no extension, or the franchise or a franchise tag with extension?
I gotta think about that one. Give me a second. Go ahead, John.
Okay, I'm going to go to the negative side. Okay, if they give him he already has a franchise tag, and from what Byron is always explaining it, that's cap money up until week 10 that they have to have set aside. So for the Giants to keep him, okay, they got to pay that. They have to put that aside in case he comes back in week 10. However, to me, the plus side of keeping him is you have a guaranteed commodity, okay? A guy who is I'm not going to put him in Walter Payton status yet, but he's a pretty darn good player, and he can light people up, okay, if he needs to throw a block. Walter Payton. What's that?
He's not close to Walter Payton.
No, he's not close, but you know what I'm saying. I think
But the question is why it's not whether he doesn't play, John. I apologize. I got the cap piece from up to week 10, right? But then it gets prorated. My question was, what would be the con to them not doing the extension? Is my question.
I don't see it. To me, it's a no-brainer. Right. Give the guy the freaking extension and let him play. Let's get around this. I'm not even a Giants fan. I'm getting sick of hearing about it.
Well, they really don't have like a lot of cap space. That's one of the things. They have like 4.1 million or whatever it is, you know, for the rest of the year. So if you can get him, you know, you give him as much upfront money as you can give him, and then have that salary, you know, 2 million or 3 million for this year. And then, you know, slowly, I'm going to have more money next year, the cap space, that it goes up next year. And then year
that's
after
a pro. Maybe. That's the pro. Mm-hmm. What's the con?
The con is if they won't have any money to sign anybody else if they give them a certain amount. They won't. They're going to be like they were last year, not be able to, like if something happened, you know, an injury.
For this year.
For this year. If they see another edge rusher, if they need another edge rusher, they're screwed.
And if they're screwed if they paid them up front.
No. They're not screwed if they pay them up front. It's just the cap number. They have to, you know, they have to save money, you know, so they can sign, you know, if they need an edge rusher, if they need another center, if they need another receiver, if they need another something. They just need you need that room, that flexibility in there. So that would be, you know, probably the biggest problem. But they need to
give them
as much as you can, but keep that number down.
Let's move on to Saquon, because now he's taking up too much of our cap space.
Let me hear Danny Dimes' take.
Okay. Danny Dimes' take is this. One, you know, if you look at Dallas first, I'm going to just give Dallas, when they're at our high point in offense, they don't run that West Coast type of offense.
No.
Actually, Dak is being criticized because he's actually defaulting to more of the short passes, and it looks like he's scared. Something's wrong, right? He wasn't throwing downfield. So I wanted to give that example. The Giants don't run that kind of offense, right? They will do some of it, but we don't run that in offense. And three, Danny Dimes, even when I didn't like him at that moment or trusted him, he was still outperforming most quarterbacks downfield. His percentage downfield was way better than most. If not, I think at one point he was the best in the league. But downfield percentage, right? So, you know, that's why I'm saying he doesn't have to worry about fitting into that complementary piece, because the Giant and NFC East in general, even the Eagles don't run it that much that way either, right? Or Washington, it's just they play big boy football.
Does Washington still have a team?
The Commanders, yeah.
Yeah, somewhere
that's down right. There. That's right. Forgot about that.
So that's the only thing I wanted to throw about Danny Dimes. Right. Let's get into Brian brought up the NFL players president reunion, right?
D. Smith
is an African American. He's a black guy, and he is actually I don't know which. It's so funny. I had a comedian that's a friend. His name is Jake Dew. Anyone listen to Banking Bros? He's good podcast. He was saying the migration of what they would call, you know, he has a pretty funny skit, but he's trying to get the get rid of the Rooney Rule. So here's a person of color trying to get rid of the Rooney Rule. And Byron, you want to take it from there?
Geez, I'm killing me with this. They should take it and like bowl it up and throw it, you know, at the garbage, you know, because basically, you know, for the last 20 years or however long that it's been around, you know, they always find a way, you know, to skate around, you know, to, you know, pick who they want. The owners are going to hire who they want, who they're comfortable with. That's the bottom line. You know, you got, you know, I'm gonna throw his name, Eric Bieniemy, you know, should have had a job, you know, years ago. It's a bunch of guys that, you know, that haven't had a job. Then they turn around and say, all right, well, they're not in a position, you know, where the owners could see these guys do their work, like, you know, offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, you know, Tomlin was a defensive coordinator, linebacker coach. And they just didn't see these guys in position. You know, they're not getting guys like from running back position to put them at, you know, the head coach of the team. And again, the same thing applies to the NCAA. The same thing. It's the same thing. You know, it's the powers that be. That people are going to hire who they are comfortable with.
Right.
Because you're going to be the face of the, you know, the organization or the school or whatever it may be. They're going to hire people who they are comfortable with. So until African Americans are in position of power, they're the presidents of the school, the chancellors of the schools, the ones that actually do the hiring. You know, own one of these football teams, then, you know, that's the only way it's going to change. You know, but for years, they skirted around, hired who they want to hire, and it's always going to be like until we're in a position of power. That's the bottom line. That's the only way you can say it.
All right, John, I want to hear your take on this. While you take on this, I'm going to take a quick break.
Yeah, no problem. I agree with Byron completely, as always. I think what the Rooney Rule is on its surface. I mean, hey, it was something to where it gave an equal, on its face, gave an equal opportunity. And I'm all for that. I think that, but on the other hand, you know, Byron, you're right. They're going to hire who they're going to want to hire, you know. Couple years ago, Vance Joseph came to Denver, stunk the place up. Okay, now he's back as DC. Great DC, but are we talking, you know, could he be a head coach again? I don't know. I mean, right. Granted, he has experience in it now, but he wasn't good in his experience.
Right.
You know, Eric Bieniemy, you're absolutely right. That dude should have been a coach. You know, well, yeah. And I'm a CU fan too. So of course I don't care where he played or coached, but you know, Eric Bieniemy, to me, you know, I've been a fan his whole career, but he should be at least in a position to where he's in the conversation. But I agree.
Think about it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Think about it. They went after, before Bieniemy even gets a shot, they brought in Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
And that was a minority. That was a person of color who owned the team.
Yeah. They're going to hire who they're comfortable with. That's the bottom line.
I get it. I'm just saying to you that, like, it's a shame that Urban Meyer, he was terrible. Nick Saban was terrible.
Lou Holtz back in the day, terrible.
Was terrible, right? Pete Carroll's first run around was terrible.
Well, first two.
His first two were terrible, right? So, you know, these guys didn't even get a shot. And, you know, I didn't realize that Eric was a 53. And not that that's old, because I'm older, but it seems like he's been doing it for so long, he hasn't had that opportunity, right?
But
he's got rings.
Yeah, but it's a shame that he has to leave where he's comfortable with to go someplace else to get the opportunity to be a head coach in the NFL. I've never seen that. Oh, well, you know what? I'm leaving a successful team. I'm not getting the head coaching job, but I'm going to leave and go to this other team, you know, to prove to people that, it, you know, I can do this.
Where did he go? Where do you want to go? Washington.
The Commanders. Oh, the team you forgot about.
Washington's. Oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind.
He went to Washington. So he leaves Washington. He leaves. But it didn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me to do that.
Well, think about it.
No.
A special teams coach got a head coaching position.
I wonder why.
A special teams coach. Now, I played special teams, so I got a place in my heart for a special team coach, right? I was a punt returner, right?
I blocked for guys like you.
And I was a kick returner, so I was the guy. I was the guy on the special teams. Now I needed guys like John and this and that, but if there's someone who's going to have a little favoritism towards a special team coach, it's got to be the guys getting the ball, right? But I don't see how he gets a head coach job over offensive coordinators, offensive line coaches. I mean,
he had a good interview. I've heard that 1,000 times. He had a good interview.
Or he has the pictures and he knows where the bodies are buried.
Well, that's the problem.
And to add one more piece to that about him is that Belichick's history of his coaches succeeding as head coaches is terrible.
Yeah.
So you add the fact that he's a special team coach. Yeah, you add the fact that he's a special team coach. You add the fact that Belichick's history of coaches leaving him and being head coaches is not good, right? And he still gets a job over the Bienemies of the world, right? I just, you know, so now back to the Rooney Rule. You know, I understand how you feel. I'm going to be the devil's advocate. I understand how you feel about, like, you're just skirting around it. But if you abolish it now, now what? You're just going to say, you know, okay, just now let them do what they want anyways. Just don't even bring it up. Don't have the discussion that they're not doing it. You know, the Rooney Rule makes you at least do something, right?
But
so what happens if they don't interview any people?
Yeah, but they are supposed to interview people and they bring them in. Okay, yeah, all right, we brought a black guy in. I would be insulted being a black guy that you bring him in knowing that this other guy is going to get the job. I could sit there, I could give you the greatest interview in the history of the world, and I know for a fact, before I even walk out this room, that I'm not going to get a job. That I already, and you know, the NFL is a small little, you know, unit there. They know who's getting these jobs. They know.
But Byron, it happens in the public sector, in the corporate world.
I know that.
It's not like this is isolated to the NFL. Right, and John, I'm sure you know. You know, Byron, you worked. You know, you played for the NFL. When you went to the military, right? Different there. You went. I'm sure there's some good old boys there a little bit too. And then you went to the Sheriff's Department. There's a little bit there too, but not.
You
know,
I'm not as much.
But in public companies and corporate worlds, when they're interviewing CEOs, there's times they're just going through the motions. They know the person they want within the company. They know who they're going to promote. They're just going through the motions to give people opportunity in the company to pick. So it does just happen. It does happen outside the NFL, right?
Yeah, and I get that part, but I'm just saying.
Is that a fair statement, John?
Yeah.
This is what I was told one time as far as, you know, before I got promoted and everything, you know, with the Sheriff's Department. And I was told, you know, I had all these brilliant ideas, and they sit there told me, like, you can't make any changes around here unless you're in the room. If you ain't got no rank, you ain't making any decisions around here. That's exactly what I was told.
Yeah.
So I had to get promoted. Well, you know, took the test, blah, blah, whatever, got promoted. But that was the only way I was able to do anything that I wanted to do around it, because I had a seat at the table, which I did.
Right. Well, think about the umpire that the professional umpire that we interviewed, right? What did he say? The only thing that he said he regret, because he wasn't a drinker, is that he isolated himself afterwards and didn't hang out with those guys that were drinking. So he wasn't with the GM. He wasn't with the whatever. He wasn't in the in crowd of the power. He goes, that hurt him.
Yeah.
Right. Because now he's not building that social network of relationship to get the shot to do. I mean, he said it. Yeah. Right. And he was, you know, definitely wasn't a person of color. Right. So I'm just saying that I think abolishing it doesn't solve it either, though. They got to do, but you know, what do you do? Like, what could the solution be? I mean, I don't have one, and usually I like to come up with solutions. I don't have one because
don't call it the Rooney Rule. You know, that's already thrown out. You know, that's already a mess. Bring these guys in like you're supposed to do. Bring them in and where they have a legitimate chance to get the job. You know, Harbaugh, Baltimore Ravens, what was he, special teams coach? Look, been successful since he's been there. But bring, you know, it doesn't matter. Bring these guys in with a legitimate shot to get the job. Don't bring them in just because, oh, well, we got to bring in, you know, six black guys to make sure, you know, it'll be, you know, adhere
to. Well, that's how the rule was written.
Get rid of it. I say get rid of it and just bring them in the right way.
Yeah. So two things. One, if the ruling rule wasn't put in place, do you think that any, do you think the percentage of coaches of color would have gotten more or less shots or be equal?
I think a little bit more. Because you're making these owners do something they really want to do. They're bringing them in because they have to.
Right.
You know, you don't know, I don't know, behind closed doors, they're talking to each other, whatever. And, maybe one of these owners, hey, you know what? I hear you got this sharp guy, on your staff right now and blah, blah, blah. Hey, you know what? And bring them in and, do the backdoor kind of stuff where it's not all out in the public and, people getting beat upside the head where they're going to sit there. Oh, well, we have to bring the black guy in or the Hispanic guy or whatever, so we can hear through, but I'm still going to hire this guy. Do it the right way.
Or the female.
Or the female too. Do it the right way. Don't do it the way they've been doing it because it's not working.
John, what do you think? You think if there was no Rooney Rule, you think that people of color would have gotten more, less, or the same amount of injuries?
I want it because, I love the sport. I would love to be the positive hippie in our group and say, oh, everyone would have gotten a chance. But Vic, I think you both know by now I'm a cynic at heart. I think the Rooney Rule gave people opportunities that may not have had it before. Now that's a different time, okay? Not where we are now. I think now, because we can have these discussions about race and ability and things like that, I think that it's time we kind of push the Rooney Rule aside and start doing what we're supposed to be doing, which is getting the right person into the right situation, regardless of color. Now, going back to Eric Bieniemy, yes, he should be a head coach somewhere. And it sickens me that he's not, but I'm kind of torn on it, in all honesty. I'd like to see it stay because I think it did some good. However, I agree with what Byron is saying too, that, it's not working. So.
Yeah, I think my take would be there would have been a lot less people of color interviewing. They would have just continued to, because that was the argument Rooney was making. And it wouldn't give them at least some preparation. I don't think it worked though with the objective that Rooney was trying to do. Right. I just think then it would have just been a lot longer for stuff to take place, right? That's just my take. But I think they got to do something, right? But let me throw this out though. Think about us though. Look at what we do, right? We before Sean Payton took a job. We were already saying he's going to be the head coach, and we wanted to him. We felt he was the best guy. We did it.
Mm-hmm.
We did it ourselves, and we don't own anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes or no?
Well, where's
Champagne going to go? Champagne's going to go here. Champagne's going to go. We didn't care what color he was now. There's a big difference between what we were feeling.
Right.
But we already had our guy picked.
Yep.
Right? John had his guy picked. John Champagne.
I called it.
Whether you called it or not, you still pre-selected a guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Without interviewing or even thinking of anybody else.
I know.
Based on race. It was based on Sean Payton. So we're way different, right?
Based on money.
Byron, we were saying where he was going. There's only, 32 teams? So we were already plucking a guy out and placing him. We replaced a person of color knowing that you're not getting a job because this guy is. We did it.
Thanks. I feel bad now.
I'm just saying to you, I'm not excusing the owners. Don't get me wrong. But you got to admit that we gotta take ourselves a little bit of grain of salt because we're quick to say, man, this guy should go here. Think about it.
Right.
We're already picking Bieniemy if he does well. We're picking him.
But once again, that's based on pure merit after everything he's done. And the same thing with Sean Payton.
Right, but I'm saying to you that, I still think that people of color should get a fair shot. Right?
I agree.
I'm on that.
Yeah.
But if we reverse do it, then we're doing it anyways, right? So right. If now we're the owner, and in my mind, I'm already going to hire Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah.
But I'm going to bring you in, John. What about you, Byron? What happens if already I know that I'm going to hire Eric Bieniemy? Would you have a problem still coming in an interview?
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Which one is it? You say yeah, no.
Bring him in. I come because you want to get, you know, bring him in for the interview. That way, you know, you get practice for the next interview, whatever.
No, I'm saying you said before you wouldn't want to interview for some place that they already knew the guy. I'm telling you, they already know that they're selecting Eric Bieniemy. Would you still want to be interviewed for that position?
Hell no.
Well, hold on, Byron. So Byron, wait. Okay.
That's me.
Byron, they're buying lunch.
They're buying lunch. Oh, I'll be there for lunch.
Okay, there you go.
So anyway,
I think
something has to be fixed. There's no doubt. Okay, I'm just saying that as I thought about our conversations over the last, you know, months and so forth.
You know how
we did it ourselves.
Yeah,
we already pre-picked coaches that we wanted to go to a certain. I wanted Peyton to go to LA to the Chargers. So I was already picking him.
I got a fix, Victor. Mm-hmm. Want to hear my fix?
Yes.
The players. If the players got together and sit there and said, you know what? We don't like what's going on. And,
that's a mutiny. You can't do that. There'll be no respect.
Yeah, you can. They can.
It's been done.
Players to pick your head coach.
Not pick the head coach. I'm saying as far as if they took a stand and said, hey, you know what? We're predominantly African-American league. I want to see a position coach. I want to see the head coach here. And if they sit there and they I'm telling you, man, if they got together, all of them, and sit there and say, hey, you know, we ain't playing.
And it's been done, not by race, okay?
How'd that work out for Colin Kaepernick?
Well, that's a different case.
Yeah. Back in 1976, my favorite Bronc of all time, Tom Jackson, the guy from ESPN, big mouth, great linebacker, he got the entire Broncos team together to go to ownership and say, we want John Ralston out. The entire team went to the owners and said, no, we're not going to play another season for this
guy. Wait a second. But I think it's easier for a group to have someone ousted
than to bring someone
to have them selected.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to get rid of someone than it is to bring them as the wrong team, right? Because look at Jeff Saturday. That was just terrible. I mean, come on, man. That was terrible. He did great for the one game. The offensive line did improve, but he still didn't do a good job as a head coach. All right, they took him from the booth. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyhow, all right. So we got that. Byron, what was the other topic?
Since my mother and all of them, they're in Detroit, Michigan right now. My cousins are listening right now to what we're doing. He's a big time Detroit Lions fan. And, you know, he's claiming that they're going to go to the Super Bowl and all this other stuff. So I figured I had to throw my cousin Derek.
Wow.
Derek.
Those are some really harsh quotation marks there you put in, man. Those were harsh.
Detroit going to the Super Bowl in what year or century?
He said the next 2 years, that's allegedly that they're going to go to the Super Bowl. That's what he said. You know, he's a big-time Lions fan. You know, he goes out to barbecues. He goes to the games and all this other stuff. You know, I wonder to burst his bubble that they're not going to the Super Bowl the next 2 years.
No. Don't they have two players suspended for gambling?
The Detroit Lions.
The wide receiver.
In their history, they had some of the greatest players
they have
of all time, and they blew it. Right,
yes,
Barry Sanders,
Calvin Johnson,
Megatron. Okay,
Calvin Johnson,
Stafford. I mean, you had some. You know, Barry Sanders to me was one of the greatest running backs I've ever seen.
No, wait a minute. Go back even further. They had Billy Sims until he heard
Billy Sims.
Billy Sims was a beast, man.
Yeah, I mean,
and he went to that Detroit line, the Silverdome, and career done, finished.
Exactly. So
Night Train Lane play the Lions too?
Detroit's just a
Dick duff. Night Train Lane.
Night Train, maybe.
Yeah, Dick Train.
Yeah, he did. Lane.
Yeah. Len Barney, that another great one from back in the day.
And let's not forget Eric Hipple.
Who?
Eric Hipple.
I really thought when they had Stafford and they had Megatron, both George, you know, played at Georgia schools. I really thought that was going to be them. And look at Megatron; he retired early.
I wonder why.
He was hired early, and he's not a running back, and he was a big dude, right? So Detroit, man.
Good food. Don't say nothing crazy because my mother's there too.
Hi, Mom.
Detroit's cool. Detroit's a good city. You know, you got Motown, you got Motor City, you got a lot of good stuff out of Detroit.
Eminem. Gambling across the lake.
Eminem.
Who?
Right across from Canada.
Eminem. But them going to the Super Bowl, I'm sorry, because the second half. It's like, no offense, it's like Denver.
Let me throw a little wrench into the argument. Now, I'm not saying I agree with this.
It's like Denver going to Super Bowl.
We have three rings, dude. Just saying. All right. And I know we're not going to get. I know. Thanks. One of them was against us. I remember. Okay. Anyway, let me throw a wrench in this. Now, based on what Detroit did this year, okay, was this year's Lions a fluke? Or did they announce that they may be for real? I didn't watch them enough to know.
On paper, they look better this year.
Yeah. So there is a possibility they may win their division. Okay, because Detroit is really, I mean, Minnesota's, they don't have a running back right now. I've never been a fan of Kirk Cousins. I don't know what the hell's going on in Chicago. And Green Bay, Jordan Love, okay. So Detroit can win that division. I think that is a
possibility. I think Minnesota's still going to be pretty good.
No, they will. They will.
I'm gonna blow his head up now. They do have a top five offensive line, the Detroit line, right. Very good offensive line. They have good receivers. They did draft a kid from Alabama, Gibbs, a running back that – you know, way higher than he should have.
And yeah. Goff's the quarterback, though.
Yeah, Goff is a good, you know, he's a serviceable, you know, quarterback. And then, you know, the defense where they had a problem, you know, you had Aiden Hutchinson was, you know, he's great, you know, pick for them, you know, as far as the, you know, outside linebacker, defensive end, and had a good, you know, rookie year. And now they drafted a linebacker from Iowa, I think Campbell's last name, you know, to help shore up the defense. That's where they had the problem, was on defense. You know, not, you know, because they should have beat the Eagles, you know, the beginning of the season last year, like 38-35 or whatever the score. Mm-hmm. You know, but they're coming. They're there. You know, they play hard. You know, for, you know, Dan Campbell, you know, who wants to bite people's kneecaps and, you know, all the other stuff that he said at the beginning. But yeah, they're a lot better, you know, than people think they are. They're
going to do. Can they win the division?
I think they got. Yeah, they can. Will they go to Super Bowl or not? No.
No.
Not next 2 years, no.
No.
They're the NFC North, right?
Right.
I mean, Green Bay, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, I think they got a problem that, you know, missing what they have. I'll be surprised. You got, who do you got, the Bears?
No.
And you, Minnesota. So the only really competition is going to be Minnesota.
Yeah.
And Minnesota's, in my opinion, an unpredictable team. Right, but they had a great season last year. I mean, surprisingly, really good season.
Until they got to the Giants and lost in the playoffs, but that's another story.
Exactly. NFC South. I don't have this wrong. Nice, kill me. All right, guys. Well, this was good. I appreciate it. Sorry for the delay. Again, don't forget Jersey Boys Sports Talk every Thursday at 8 p.m. What time, Byron? 8 p.m. with all the number of fingers he puts up all the time. Uncle Eric, thank you very much. Again, gentlemen, thank you for your prayers and your kindness, my dad.
One more thing, real quick. We're going to start supporting the Wounded Warrior Foundation.
We're going to switch it up? Okay, good. Yeah. Yes. All right. So we are supporting the Wounded Warrior for Superior Nation. One, we did it for Byron's birthday. Two, in my dad's, there'll be a link. In my dad's obituary, we're donating in lieu of flowers. You know, please, we have had some really nice friends send us nice flowers. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. But my dad's getting cremated, so, you know, we're not taking. I'd rather go to my dad's 20-year vet, badass Bronze Star, was 1971-72 U.S. Marshal, 20 years served Vietnam, two tours in Vietnam, Byron, one in Korea War. Okay, so he earned his stripes.
Every penny, every stripe.
He earned his stripes. So, you know, in his honor, and this was really my stepmom wanted to go there, Mary Rosetta Lamantia Arocho, and we call her a Nuna, which is, you know, Italian grandmother. Our kids call her our Italian grandmother. And she wanted to go there, and that's, you know, my dad's a proud vet. As you can see, I have that. He's got like 30 hats, all different U.S. military, retired military, U.S. Army, you know, just all those. But I do want to just share, you know, on a send off. And I get to it. There we go. Hey, there's my pop.
There you go.
You see it? There's my pop and me.
Wait a minute. I see where we get the good hair from.
Yeah,
that's right.
I'm jealous.
Exactly. I'm jealous too. I got a couple strands.
I'm out of
up
here,
there.
Man. I'm gone.
My dad will wear his foster grand. Says my stepmom is Nuna, and my pop. You see the hat he's got on? That's funny. I didn't realize it. Look at the hat.
Even okay. There, he looks like he could kick somebody's butt. And right there too.
Can you hear that?
No.
Hold on a second. No. Wait. Let me fix it. Hold on. Here, I want you to hear this. Listen to this.
Blessings to my father. I love you, Pop. I love you too.
Here, I was starting
20 years plus Thanksgiving with my Pop. Mm-hmm. 88 years old. I love him. Shout out to all our friends and family. Blessings to my father. I love you, Pop.
I love you too.
20
that's,
years.
Bro, that was this Thanksgiving. That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah,
I remember when you posted that. Yep,
it was 88, and you see the hat. That's where we're gonna. He's gonna be. He's wearing that hat. That's a hat that he would wear all the time, Byron. So, my best friend, man. This was a tough ride. A tough ride, and at least I feel a little, I don't have that nervous anxiety I had today coming here. It was 5 hours to get me here. I got occupied, and thank you for the show, right? I needed the show. And Pop, I love you. I know you're looking down on us, and, you know, protect us and protect all our military. So please, if you can, donate in behalf of Tony Rocho to the Wounded Warriors. $25, anything you got. It's better
$5 than anything.
It's better than, you know, we got people were sending, you know, $80 flowers, 300. One, you know, great friend of mine sent a beautiful arrangement. It was like $300. That would have went real far. You know, and I really appreciate it. Please don't think it's wrong. You guys understand where I'm coming from, but if I can give it to the Wounded Warrior, I would prefer to go in that direction. Gentlemen, as always, thank you, John, Uncle Eric, everybody. No Byron, thank you for your service as well, and everybody who served out there. You know, Saturday, you get a chance, look up in the sky, toast a drink, sue, salute, whatever you do, bro, for my dad. And I'd really appreciate it. And thank you I got maybe over 500 comments on my Facebook. And I just can't, you know, I just want to say thank you. And you know, I'm lucky, I'm fortunate. Sometimes I feel a little guilty because people have gone through worse. You know what I mean? But it still hurts, right? It's not, it's not, it's not something I could just easily bypass, right?
Yep.
So God bless you. We'll see you next week on Jersey Boys Sports Talk. Thank you, gentlemen, and God bless.
God bless you too.
Take care, guys. All right.